Good afternoon. Today is 1:30 p.m. and this is Talk on the Rock. For today's topic, we're going to learn more about the possible sale of the former Wrangell Medical Center, also known as the Old Hospital. And we have the potential buyer, Mr. Wayne Johnson, over a Zoom call with us. You can call in to ask a question. The number is, to KSTK, is 874-2345. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for coming in today. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm up in Washington, D.C. today, and the cherry blossoms are out, and it's pretty.
Oh, that sounds really, really great. Yeah, I was going to ask you where you are. So it's about 5:30 where you are right now, huh?
It is.
Okay. Great. So before we get into talking about real estate here in Wrangell, let's talk a little bit about you so the community can get to know who you are. I understand you've carried a lot of titles under your belt, such as you serving as a senior official in the Trump administration. And again, if I'm wrong on anything, just correct me. But you were an officer in the Army and helped protect the construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. I also heard that you created a number in the back of the credit card, so you have a strong background in finance. And currently, you're a candidate for the U.S. Congress in Georgia's 2nd District. Is that right?
That is. With regard to the credit card, it was the sticker on the card that says you got to dial this 1-800 number before you can use this card. So that was my contribution to the world of plastic.
Wow.
And probably my most prideful, titles is that of father, grandfather, and husband. I've been married for 51 years to my wife, who was with me when we first experienced Alaska back in 1974 through about 1980 up in Fairbanks.
Yeah. And then you also farm, right?
I do some tree farming down in Georgia. I grow a particular type of tree, which is a Paulownia tree, which is a fast-growing regenerative hardwood that I got introduced to by one of my good friends, Jimmy Carter. And so we've been working on that for a number of years.
And can you give me a little explanation of why it's a special, why you wanted to farm that tree? What is special about it?
Well, first of all, it's one of those rare trees that you can plant it, and within 10 years, it's at a 30-inch diameter that you can actually harvest. And then when you cut it down, it regenerates multiple times. It's a hardwood species. It's got about, pretty much about 80%, it's about 60% of the weight of pine and about 90% the strength of oak. It's an extremely lightweight, fast-growing, very strong wood. And it's just something that a lot of people aren't familiar with, but it really grows well. Actually, I've thought about trying to plant some up there in the Wrangell area because it's I think it would grow in a rainforest area up there like that. But that's another project at another time. Right now, I got a few thousand of those trees planted down in Georgia.
Wow. Yeah. So you have a lot of ambition. On top of, you adding that you are a husband and a father and a grandfather, is there anything else you'd like to add about yourself?
No. I'm 72 years old. So somebody asked me recently, they said, when are you going to retire? I said, exactly 3 years after I die. I want to have so much stuff underway that, people look around and say, oh, he's not with us anymore. But the ideas are.
And I imagine you've been like this for most of your life then, I'm guessing, just with carrying that ambition.
Well, I don't know if ambition is the word. It's just curiosity. I'm just intensely curious about things. I think that's one of the things that fascinates me about, being involved in Alaska, particularly Wrangell, is, it's made up of people that are, basically self-motivated, intensely curious, problem solvers. as I'm going forth with my congressional run, I'm characterizing myself as a problem solver. And so as I look at different things that I encounter, I'm always trying to say, well, what's the problem? And spend about 2 minutes admiring the problem and then spend the rest of the time trying to figure out how to resolve the problem.
Yes, yeah, and definitely Alaskans are, problem solvers for sure. You kind of have to be.
You don't make it long in a somewhat isolated environment if you can't solve some problems.
Exactly. So, speaking about Alaska, you spent a considerable amount of time in the state. Will you share a little bit about your experiences here in Alaska, the whole state?
Well, yeah. Again, when I was in the Army, I was a second lieutenant. They originally had me slated to go to Fort Polk, Louisiana, and they told me my second, so I could deal with bugs and alligators in Fort Polk, or they told me I could go to Fairbanks, Alaska. And at that time in 1974, it was still considered to be a pretty much a frontier town. And so my wife and I, we packed up, we drove our 1973 Mercury Marquis. We put on the ferry, got off in Haines, and then drove on up in the dead of winter to Fairbanks. And then my wife was working as an emergency room nurse at the Fairbanks Hospital, and we had a wonderful time there. And then we got stationed down in Anchorage. And I started off in the medical service corps, but I had a really unique experience. I'd gone through college as a working at a bank, and I understood bank operations. And the local bank in Fairbanks screwed up my checking account, and I went in to talk to the president and explained to him what I thought were the problems. And he explained to me that they were having serious problems keeping help because, everybody was getting hired to go work for the pipeline for six times what they were making at the bank. And one thing led to another, and he wound up asking me to do some, so advisory work for him, which I did. In the process, he introduced me to Senator Ted Stevens, and I got to know him a little bit up there. And then, so then I went down to Anchorage and just continued to enjoy and explore. Again, my wife worked at the hospital down there. I think it was a Teamsters hospital, actually. And then, of course, our time. And by the way, what was interesting is when I was in Fairbanks, the full bird colonel that was running as deputy brigade commander was Norman Schwarzkopf. And of course, went on to be, Storm Norman, General Schwarzkopf. So it was a pleasure to work on his staff. And then I got restationed back in Georgia. But ever since then, I go to Alaska, at least every 2 years, try to do it at least once a year. I actually was bought a company we owned for a period of time, the Credit Bureau of Alaska. And so that gave me a chance to come up there. And so it's just I consider it to be, and I was officially an Alaska resident when I was, in the military. I wish I'd kept that residency. So that's, it's just a place I really call home.
Wow, nice. Yeah. And so your first time in Wrangell was this past November. What brought you here?
Well, it was kind of a serendipitous encounter. The University of Alaska Southeast. Well, quick aside, I was in the financial services world, but when I turned, it's when I got when I was 65, I got my doctorate in higher education leadership, and the University of Alaska Southeast was looking for some leadership, and I had put my name in, hoping they'd consider me. But in order to be able to say that I knew what the school was about, I actually went up and I toured Juneau, toured Sitka, toured Ketchikan, and was just, getting prepared in case, they asked me to get involved. But when I was over in Ketchikan, somebody said, and I'd spent quite a bit of time in the Angoon area, the Sitka area, of course, also in the Craig, Plaiwalk area. And somebody said, "Have you ever been to Wrangell?" I said, "No." They said, "Man, Wayne, you'll love it. It's the best of the best of Alaska." And I thought that was pretty profound coming from somebody from Ketchikan. So I hopped the plane that morning, came over, wound up staying for 2 weeks, looked around, cruised around, wound up buying actually two boats. I bought a little 24 foot cabin cruiser there, and then I bought a Svenson crabber. Then went ahead and got my hand trolling permit, so I'm trying to figure out how to deal with that. I got Vern, who's up there, going to be outfitting the boat, and then of course I bought one of the boat from Chad. And so anyway, I just said this is the place to be, and what it really boiled down to is I've decided that Georgia is too damn hot in the summer, and I really would like to spend some time in Alaska, and also I want my grandchildren and all my friends to experience it.
Yeah, so that, I mean, you, it sounds like you're pretty committed to this, residing here in Wrangell for, however long each year. You have two boats, and that sounds pretty great. What is it about Wrangell that attracted you enough to make this commitment and to possibly develop housing units here?
Well, it's the people. I mean, just amazing, amazing people. I felt immediately welcomed by the people over at the Stikine Inn, and I think I'm supposed to call it the Stick, if what I've heard, but I don't know. You could correct me on that. But I
Yeah.
got welcomed by them. I got welcomed, into just some discussion groups that were, always going on over there. But every single person I met from, Jeff Angerman to, the folks over at Bay Marine to, the folks at Svenson, I mean, to, Kathleen at the real estate company. Everybody just was amazingly open and welcoming. And I felt like I was with folks I could appreciate and identify with. The natural beauty that you have is, I was to happen to be there at a time when the sun was out and no clouds and no rain, and just as stunning. And then just in fact that you've got a literally a world-class level airport in terms of the runway, is a big attraction. You got two grocery stores, you got some gas stations, you got a fantastic hospital. But what I did notice is you didn't have much places and many places for people to decide to move and live there. And so, driving by the hospital and my tours around kind of got my attention, and so that was pretty much what it led to. It also ties into another one of my businesses. One of my businesses is I have developed and own and operate several hundred apartment units that primarily cater to seniors, but I'm not looking at it being senior specific up there. I'm looking at it being multi-generational.
Okay. Yeah. I know some people were curious about that. So if you do, and it sounds like we're pretty close to a purchase, but if you do end up purchasing the old hospital and the six adjacent lots, you mentioned multi-generational. Can you elaborate more on what your vision is for the area?
Sure. Well, first of all, the project, I'm calling it the Wrangell Heritage House Development. Really would like for what we do there to very much be, in tune with the heritage, both the commercial and the native heritage of Wrangell. And it is very much dependent upon not only the principal property, which is a couple of acres, but the adjacent lots. Because what my vision is somewhere in the neighborhood of a six-story building, have 8 units per floor. These would be condo units, two bedroom, two bath, perhaps some three bedroom, two baths in there. Balconies for sure. You got to be able to step outside, not just balconies, but full-blown porches. You got to be able to step outside and enjoy the fresh air and the view. And then I think it's really important would be to have some covered parking for people to be able to park the vehicles, and then beyond that is some covered storage for toys, whether it be snow machines or boats. What I noticed when I was driving around Wrangell, very very few places where you can get your vehicle undercover. Lots of boat places. I mean, lots of need for people, places to park boats. So that's basically the idea, is that something that would appeal to a young family all the way up to, retired folks. And I think it would help to retain people into Wrangell. So if you look at it on a six-story basis, we're looking at, having 48 units. But that's pretty much it.
Okay, great. And yeah, do you plan for these to be rentals or for sale?
No, I intend for everything to be a for sale. I think that I think there's going to be an opportunity. I haven't locked this down yet. Well, I actually haven't even seriously explored it, but I think there's going to be an opportunity through different financing sources that have a interest in Alaska to put in place some low interest financing. So if we're fortunate enough to get some financing in the let's say 4% or 5% range, I think it's going to make it very, very attractive to a wide range of people. But again, I haven't explored that. I'm open to listening to people, and but I think there might be some funding for that that could be brought to bear. But these will be, and now if somebody buys it and they want to basically buy it as investment, lease it out, we'll have our management company will certainly manage that for them. But I really want people that want to live there to be in the building, not just some investors just doing it for speculative purposes.
Right. And I know this is very beginning. Have you thought about the range of prices for these units?
Yeah, I'm very focused on doing my best to keep it under 500,000 per unit. I'd like to get it, as low as possible. I'm certainly am doing it to make sure it's a successful, business endeavor, but I'm really focused on how can it be a contributing asset to the town and people of Wrangell.
Okay, thank you. And then I'm also going to share some questions that community members, have too, as well as myself. So, have you done any development in Southeast Alaska before? Or what?
Nope.
No. Okay. So, what do
So,
you.
well, have I done any real estate development? No. Have I done business development? The answer is yes. Not in Southeast, but in Alaska.
Okay. The reason why is because, we're just thinking about accessibility, and so I'm curious, what do you expect the challenges might be that you'll face, like for developing the housing here?
Well, fortunately, it's not going to be so much weather dependent because y'all have a, Wrangell has a decent weather window. The biggest thing is to start with is going to be getting the debris off the island. And I've already made arrangements with a world-class demolition company and also a local contractor there to dispose of the stuff that comes from tearing the building down. I do intend to kind of have a, anybody wants to come over and pick through the materials. So I'd rather people salvage materials, whether it be the metal on the roof or the doors or the windows or whatever, as opposed to just putting it in landfill. But we're going to have to barge a lot of stuff off, to basically take care of that. Then the next question becomes, what is the framing for the building? And we're looking at either concrete or steel framing. Or a combination of concrete and steel framing. So literally, if it's steel, we're going to be basically bringing in a big erector set. But that type of construction, I talked to a construction company out of Sitka that's actually very familiar with steel frame buildings. In fact, I think they're doing one over in Petersburg right now. And then it's going to boil down. So it's just getting the materials there is going to take some pretty significant logistics, but heck, I mean, if you can, that's a solvable problem if you've got barge access, and I don't think we're going to fly anything yet, but we'll boat it in, or that's how we get it there. I think that one of the important questions is there an appetite for 48 units in Wrangell? I certainly look forward to coming out there and sitting down with some the community at large with a kind of a community. Town meeting and just seeing, what the thoughts are there. Let's see what else. I certainly am open to, if anybody up there wants to be part of a co-investment team, I'd certainly consider that, because I'd like to have people from the community involved. What are the questions you got
Oh,
on that
okay.
point?
Yeah. So you definitely answered, well, yeah, your question. How do you, or my question, sorry. How do you plan to get around these challenges with supplies, bringing supplies in? I'm taking it as, you know, you'll see how it goes. It will come in, but it might take some time. And also, when do you anticipate the building to begin, you know, the construction?
Well, our thoughts are right now is that we'll do the demolition in 2024, and then actually start the construction in 2025. That's the intention. May slip. I've still got to go through architectural design. Once we start, it'll you know what once we start de demolition, that will go very, very quickly. Once we start construction, it'll go very, very quickly. It's not going to be one of these lingering type projects, because that just doesn't work well for anybody. At the end of the day, the costs are, as you well know, much higher when you got to bring stuff onto an island. Let's put it this way. I've built in remote locations before. I built stuff down in Argentina. We were out in the middle of nowhere, and so we'll it's not so much see how it goes. It's bringing in the right professionals. One of the things I'm going to be looking at is some architectural firms, either out of Juneau or Ketchikan or even Sitka. If there's an architect in Wrangell that'd like to raise their hand and talk to me, I'm certainly willing to listen. And then, of course, just the design elements. The big question for me right now is not the construction, because we get that done. It's how to make sure that it harkens to Wrangell heritage. That's one of the, important questions for me to get input on.
Okay, great. And so then, what are your plans for the long-term building maintenance then?
Oh, we're going to have a man. We'll have our own management company. Like I said, right now, I in my other business, we find land, we develop it, we build it, we own it, we operate it. So what's, I think, very not unusual but very special about what I've done is every time I build something, I build it from the standpoint that I want it to be there a long, long time, and with the idea that I'll be involved in the ownership. So I want to make sure that the quality is extraordinarily good.
Okay, great. And then have you thought about how else you will contribute and invest in the community here?
Well, I'm in the education arena, so if I can be of assistance to the school systems, let me know. One of the things I do encourage every high school senior to do is to fill out the FAFSA form. That's a free application for federal student aid, so they can get access to federal funds. I tend to, I'm actually looking at figuring out how to boil crab and serve it to people off of cruise ships. Because when I was up there, the one disappointment I have, I couldn't find any fresh crab to eat. Everybody kind of looked at me like, you just go catch it. And I said, well, I don't really have that ability right now. So I'm, maybe place some little contributing aspect to the tourism up there. I'm not exactly sure how yet. But I do have a little 3-bedroom, 2-bath, I call it cabin, that's over there on Evergreen that I've leased for 2 years. And some folks are in it right now, but I'll be bringing up a load of furniture and making that work here soon. So anyway, just, and who knows, I might even march in the 4th of July parade.
Oh yeah. I as well arrived here in November, and so I heard about the 4th of July being a extended celebration over more than one day.
Well, I tell you, I was over in Clay Walk, and Craig a couple of times during the 4th, and I mean they must put on $100,000 fireworks display. So I'm really looking forward to seeing, which was a lot of money. Maybe it could be spent on something else, but it was cool. But I'm really looking forward to seeing, the Wrangell 4th of July experience. In fact, I got a lot of my family members oriented towards that.
Yeah, likewise. And is there anything else you would like to add about your plans here in Wrangell, who you are as a person, what you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm just I'm and I'd like to say I'm just like everybody I've met in Wrangell. I hope that I can be viewed as a contributor to the community. I think probably one of my biggest concerns with regard to this project is I really don't want to over create over exceptionally high expectations. One of my concerns is I don't want to disappoint the people of Wrangell with the notionality that this thing is coming online. We still got to settle out the issues with the extra lots because the project is not feasible without the extra lots, and I'm confident that that'll happen. So I think the biggest thing is I'm very open in soliciting input, and at the same time, I just hope people will be patient with the process because it's going to be a substantial investment. I mean, we're looking at something approximating $15 million worth of investment, which is a pretty substantial investment.
And then you will be here, I imagine, within the next couple months. Is there a time that you're aware of right now where community members can, speak with you about, their thoughts and stuff?
Well, yes, I do need to come up as you mentioned earlier. I am in the middle of a congressional campaign, and people have asked me, "Wade, how are you going to run for Congress at the same time spend your time in Alaska?" And I said, "Well, I'm just going to do it, and if the people want me to represent them in Georgia, I'll be certainly committed to that. But in the meantime, I'm not going to, disappoint my family because I made this particular determination." So. I'm very serious about both, I guess to sum it up, there's a great opportunity there. As far as coming up, one of the things I may either through your coordination or maybe Mason over at the development officer over at City Hall, I may just want to hold a kind of a townhomes Zoom meeting and just go ahead and get some input, even before I come up. It's really, really, really important to know what the community wants there, and that's what's, a very significant aspect of what's driving me.
Yes, absolutely. I have one last question just because you mentioned you did develop in rural Argentina. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I developed a hunting lodge in Cordoba, Argentina, for the bird shooters that in your audience they'll know that the holy grail of shooting dove is down in Argentina. You'll shoot a lot of birds in a given day, and everybody says, "Well, isn't that kind of wasteful?" And the answer is no, because if you don't shoot the birds, then the government poisons the birds, and then it destroys the entire food chain. But I developed a very very significant lodge down there that came on the hills. I was involved in a private equity group, and we deployed quite a bit of money in Argentina. We bought a couple of banks and the water company for the city of Buenos Aires and some other stuff. And I just decided I liked to bird shoot, and one thing led to another. Building a lodge, and that's not too dissimilar to what I'm doing here. Took an interest in a community and then did something.
Yeah, so it shows that obviously you have experience with like developing in faraway places, hard to reach places. Thank
Oh,
you.
well, and Argentina was special because you were dealing in a different culture and different set of laws and rules and regulations and also different language. So, just the biggest challenge to wrangle is just proximity. At least, everybody that I talked to spoke English, but that's a side joke.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Wayne. We will be in contact to talk about, potential future talks, what you were just mentioning before the last question. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your vision with the community of Wrangell. And that was Wayne Johnson, who is a real estate developer on his way to most likely purchasing the hospital, old hospital building. Thank you, Wayne. And
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
great. It likewise. And we are going to hop into World Cafe now.